This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On a recent Friday, The New Yorker's Carolyn Corman went to meet a 14-year-old girl named Alexandria Villaseñor, who was spending the day on a bench near the United Nations headquarters in New York.
So how many Fridays have you been out here now?
I've been on... I always forget the number. It's gotten to the point where it's like, it's either 35 or 36.
Alexandria is one of the generation of young activists inspired by Greta Thunberg, the Swedish teenager who addressed world leaders at the 2018 climate change conference known as COP24. Alexandria saw a video of Thunberg's speech last December, and that was it. Every Friday since, she skips school. She's on a climate strike, and she intends to keep it up until the adult world can finally get its act together and do something. Banning fossil fuels, to her mind, would be just the place to start. Here's Alexandria Villaseñor talking with climate reporter Carolyn Corman.
I'm curious what your life was like before you started striking. What was your average day like?
Before I started my climate activism and my climate strike, a lot of my life consisted of doing theater shows because I was a theater kid, as well as just doing normal kid things. So hanging out with friends, hanging out with my family. And I used to live in California, so a lot of this was done in Northern California. And going to the rivers and the Arboretum in Davis.
Do you remember the first time you learned about climate change?
So what really got me involved in climate activism was that I moved to New York City last August. So I've been here for a full year now. But I was visiting family back in November when the Paradise Fire had broke out. So we were all in Davis. And Davis is only an hour away from Paradise, so we ended up getting a lot of the smoke. It reached 350 AQI at one point, which is air quality index, and it was also the worst air quality in the world.
At that moment?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, for example, in downtown Davis, they weren't realizing the effects of smoke inhalation, so they'd be dropping in downtown Davis. Ambulances would have to come and pick them up. But wow. For me, I noticed that my chest started to get really prickly, as it does sometimes with asthma. And it felt like needles were punching my chest. So I'd wake up nauseous every morning. I'd have to keep a wet washcloth over my face. And I got a red eye out of California at the last minute just because all of the flights were actually booked because people were trying to leave California from the fires.
Right. And at that time, were you aware of what was happening in Paradise? Or
I started researching and Googling. I had stumbled across some articles about climate change, talking about what it's doing to California and the wildfires. I had come across COP24, and I'd hoped that world leaders would come to a sufficient agreement to stay in line with the IPCC report that came out last October and reduce their global greenhouse gas emissions. And when they didn't, I remember being really upset. And I had seen Greta Thunberg speak, and she had really empowered me to start my strike on the last day of COP24, which was December 14th.
And Greta Thunberg is your good friend, the climate activist, Swedish climate activist. And How much time would you say that you spend talking to other climate activists around the world, your peers, via Twitter or whatever messaging platform you use?
Let's see, there's 24 hours in a day. And I have to spend at least 6 hours sleeping.
Just 6 hours?
Well, I fell asleep at like 1 a.m. last night because I had to do some emails and some phone calls that happen at like 8. And so, yes, about 6 hours is, but it's okay because it changes.
Okay.
But I usually spend about 15 hours a day talking to other youth climate activists.
What apps do you use?
All forms of social media, so Twitter, Instagram, but then we also go to WhatsApp. We use Slack, we use Discord. Discord is actually an international gamers chat, but we use it a lot for international communication.
For chatting? There's nothing to do with gaming.
Nothing to do with gaming.
Okay. I think it was in March, you were quoted in a piece on Breitbart.
You checked out the article. Oh, that's great.
And what was the response to that piece like?
It was interesting. So I have thick skin when it comes to any trolls or climate deniers. But a lot of the times for people in my family and my parents, it's scary. And so just seeing the comments on Breitbart, so after Breitbart put up the article, the comments got so many death threats that Breitbart had to disable the comments, purge the comments, then they put them right back up. And so after the Breitbart article came out and the death threats got very scary, then I usually have a family member out with me at the strike every Friday.
I find writing about climate change and being immersed in this stuff all the time, it can be quite draining and sometimes depressing and scary and cause a lot of anxiety. So I wonder, do you feel similarly, or how do you take a break from how depressing it can be?
The climate crisis causes a lot of anxiety and eco grief.
That's a new term for me.
I'm not sure if I just made it up. I feel like I've heard it before, but I could have just made it up. But how I combat that is taking action. When I go out and protest, when I take direct actions, and when I strike, it's one of the ways that I feel empowered about my future, that I have a say in what's going to happen.
And I guess, yeah, since you've been coming out here conducting these school strikes, has your outlook on the world changed?
I think the way that my view on life has changed since I started organizing is I see more of the structures that society has put in place. And that's one of the things that my generation, why we're so impactful with the climate movement, is because of how we're organizing outside of the structure that adults work in. And we see outside of the system. We just think about what we need to do. We don't think about what's politically possible. We just think about what needs to happen.
Alexandra Villaseñor, climate striking on a recent Friday afternoon. She's helping to organize the global climate strike slated for September 20th. And she spoke with The New Yorker's Carolyn Corman.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.